We absolutely agree with the recommendations to add a need-based component to Bright Futures. And we think giving incentives to students to study in certain selected academic areas is a positive step toward meeting our state's needs. We also welcome the mention of the Board of Governors' strategic plan in the proposals. And we also welcome the efficiency and accountability processes that the Board of Governors have established. And all of us have had a major hand in that. And we urge the task force to include the community colleges in accountability and efficiency plans so that everybody's sort of being measured by the same set of standards. We also urge the task force to include community colleges in the recommendation that a portion of tuition increases and the operating budget be set aside for need-based aid. That's a fairly standard practice in many universities around the country and many state university systems. And we would not only embrace that in the university system, but also encourage the community colleges to be part of that moving forward. Universities depend critically on community colleges to recruit, retain, and graduate a large percentage of our students. In UWF's case, for example, we had 80% of the AA graduates from PJC and over 60% from WC. So we have a big stake in what happens there. And so a major recommendation from the task force that we would encourage would be to emphasize improvements in retention and graduation rates of community college students, because that would simply help us in terms of the transfer, and we have such good articulation. Anyway, I think that would just help everybody. We also hope that the task force's recommendation for alternative funding mechanisms for capital costs are taken seriously, including exploring capital construction through local tax referendums. And in our letters, we provide some more suggestions about how maybe we could partner up on private sectors and stretch those capital dollars perhaps into rental payments instead of building and owning everything. As a system, the state has been one of the nation's leaders in providing different learning options to the citizens of Florida, and I want to include the military in this as well. And we have every intention of continuing to expand that service because, again, it is a very good way to meet the needs. And in the military space, here's the attached to the institution of Florida, and no matter where they get deployed in the world, they can maintain that connection. And so if technology is being consistent across the sectors, would lead to greater expansion of these opportunities. We do agree that the state policies on baccalaureate degrees should be coordinated. However, we believe that the people of Florida spoke very clearly in their desire to have colleges and universities coordinated by the Board of Governors. Baccalaureate degrees are best offered by universities that have already been accredited and equipped to provide a formal education. However, having said that, we certainly intend to continue to work with our community college partners to serve the citizens through the 2+2 programs. Florida is, by far, the nation's leader in providing the best cooperative arrangement between community colleges and universities. So let's build on that strength. I think every university and every community college can point to numerous examples of that. And everywhere I go, and many people go around the country, everybody says that that's something that Florida does better than anybody else. If a community college wishes to become a college and offer baccalaureate degrees, then that institution should fall under the authority of the Board of Governors. But again, having said that, perhaps it's premature for the task force to even make recommendations related to the approval of baccalaureate degrees and governance while that issue is still in force. There are several other areas in which we have some concerns, and we believe that the recommendations might benefit from either modification or the discussion or clarification. We're extremely concerned that many of these recommendations have yet to be thoroughly discussed by the task force in a public fashion. And because many are complex and involve significant financial issues, we would encourage additional in-depth study before adoption. In reference to the section dealing with motivating institutions to align behaviors with access goals, it is troubling that the recommendations are targeted exclusively at universities. To hold only universities accountable and not the community colleges, we believe is misguided and unfair, and that it is counter to the public's desire for accountability in all sectors. For example, why require universities, but not community colleges, to set aside a significant portion of tuition increases for financial aid, as I indicated earlier? Community colleges have students with financial needs as well. Recommending that universities cover costs over and above those provided by the prepaid tuition program is also not realistic without an economic impact analysis. By the way, this is another recommendation that affected only universities. accountability measures in an effort to increase efficiency and should continue this thoughtful process, and we all certainly endorse that. Tying tuition flexibility to certain performance standards that have yet to be determined is a bit premature. The mission of certain universities may make it impossible for the institutions to expand in certain high priority areas if a one-size-fits-all model is the one that ends up being adopted. Much of the foundation budgets at all of the public universities, as well as privates, are governed by gift agreements and cannot legally be redirected. Universities and community colleges may not have much discretion after meeting current commitments. Foundation funds should continue to be directed by university foundation boards, and we would continue to do whatever we can to try and work with our future donors to direct funds to support areas of high need. So in summary, there is much in the report that we endorse and heartily support. Many of the recommendations, though, we believe need further analysis before including in your final report. We're happy to suggest any questions from the task force.
Thank you for your presentation. I really enjoyed hearing it. More than questions, just really a couple of comments with regard to the comparisons between universities and community colleges. Community colleges overwhelmingly deal with non-traditional students, which is part of our mission statement, a great part of our mission statement, which I believe we need to continue and work upon. So when you're making your comparisons, you're not making it apples to apples, you're making it apples to oranges. And I think that's a very important clarification.
And I respectfully disagree with that because the majority of students at University of West Florida are not traditional.
Well, in Miami-Dade College, that's the thing, but you're talking about the university system of the state of Florida. And so the vast majority
I would still respectfully disagree with the statement of the vast majority because if you look at there is in fact a difference between certain institutions, perhaps the University of Florida and University of West Florida and other regionals in terms of the demographic makeup of the institution. Because many, if not most, of the regional institutions have a majority of part-time students and a majority of students that would not be in traditional age classification. So I think we may be, at least in many universities, much closer in our demographics than some people might think.
What would suggest to task force that we deal with the commentary after the speakers, and if you do have questions or whatever, we should ask them, but otherwise I think we should... Sorry, Helen.
No, you're right. Go ahead. I just wanted to comment that Dr. Kavanaugh made a big effort to be here today, and the task force should thank me because I asked the other presidents not to attend, just to write letters and the chairman of the University of Association came, and he made a great effort to come here.
I've got three questions. We make a reasonably specific recommendation here about the percentage of tuition increases being assigned to need-based financial aid. Is that helpful, or it seems to me trying to set a goal? Is that helpful to you?
We see that certainly we would want to engage in the conversation, but in my past institution, for example, North Carolina, that was a standard practice, that we would engage in the conversation, and everyone would agree on a certain percentage being set aside. So I think we're certainly open to that conversation.
Okay, so putting it in is not, that doesn't, okay. But how would you incent your comment about the getting more AAs out of your regional community colleges? How would you incent that? How would you make sure that you said your best interest? How would you suggest doing that?
Certainly in our case, let me speak more specifically to the University of Florida. I think if we continue to jointly recruit students, which we do all the time, for example, with Pensacola Junior College, in terms of encouraging students that want to go to community colleges to get a junior college, when we go out and jointly recruit, we make it very clear to students how easy it is then to transfer that AA degree into the University of West Florida and talk about different options for students. And I think if also we can provide some incentives, as I mentioned, for retention, for example, of students in community college, that would certainly help us meet the needs of transferring even more students in for baccalaureate degrees.
Example, what would an incentive be? Because I think we need to, in our goal here, is to be specific.
I think in terms of the University of West Florida, providing an incentive for students perhaps who are coming out with academic issues, if we can sit down and show them how they can go to community college and still come into the University of West Florida. I think that's one area. Second, in our own case, with military students, a lot of those military personnel are reluctant to give a college education because they don't think they can continue it. So we can incent on those grounds. So there's just a couple of months.
And then lastly, you're concerned about the universities and these recommendations being held to a set of accountability standards that the community colleges aren't or not articulating in this recommendation. Are you suggesting on behalf of the president or the universities that the universities would be happy to, or not happy, would be take on accountability standards for tuition flexibilities if the community colleges were included in that? I just want to be clear that your issue is whether it's the accountability standards needs to be tuition flexibility or the community colleges not being in the mix.
Well, certainly philosophically, the connection between accountability and flexibility has been the basis of the conversation that we've done this all along.
Right.
So philosophically, we have no issue with that. What we would appreciate is the opportunity to expand that conversation for community colleges as well.
Okay. Any other comments, questions?
Can I just follow up on one thing that particular provision says? That you could grant tuition flexibility only if you did the following things. And the question I had is, are there not other situations where the flexibility should be there, but perhaps doesn't relate to this particular set of criteria?
Well, I think that's a separate conversation. We were responding to the specific list of recommendations there. Certainly, there are other conversations that they could and should go on. About what the mix of accountability and standards should be, and whether some are off the list or on the list. And that conversation has been going on with the Board of Governors and asked quite some time.
Any other questions for Dr. Kavanaugh? Kev?
You stated in your presentation about the bachelor's degree awarding community college to follow the Board of Governors. Could you expand on that? What does it mean to the whole college to fall under the community college portion or just the portion that represents bachelor's degrees?
Nothing provocative about that. I think it's very good.
I think first of all, the issue is still in dispute and in litigation, so anyone I say would may or may not have any weight whatsoever. It's the position of the university presidents that once the institution changes sex level and level 1 to level 2, that the institution should fall into the window. I just want to also say that's still under great discussion with the court, so...
Let me say a second question in that regard. And I am very pleased that you're here and that UWF president is the chair of the presidents this year because of this question. One of the concerns that community colleges have is that we may be left behind with the Board of Governors if that were to happen, that there's going to be offered very limited bachelor's degree. Let me ask you, historically, do you think the University of West Florida has been treated fairly in the appropriation mix when compared to the other universities in the state of Florida?
Let me start by saying I was not president of UWF under the Board of Regents. Right, so I have personally no history. However, in looking at the budget, right, and what we've been able to accomplish, it's my opinion that there's no question the University of West Florida is better off under the current governance system than it was under the previous.
You get your fair share from the state of Florida.
We got
the other state universities.
We absolutely got our fair share.
Commissioner?
Yes, I'd just like to make a comment and a question. Making a question on the tuition issue and the flexibility and accountability regarding universities and the colleges. I think it's a good observation that you need to articulate those. It seems to me when you compare their different approaches on tuition, for example, the community college presidents have all agreed to keep tuition at the lowest possible level, essentially cost of living. And they have made that a part of their need to take it down. Board governors, on the other hand, has identified the need and the funding and then added 5% on top of that. That's a completely different philosophy between the two systems regarding tuition. And so we think that that difference in philosophy has should have an impact on how this is treated in regard to tuition flexibility.
I think the better question philosophically is whether philosophically the concept of tuition flexibility should apply equally between colleges and universities. And I believe philosophically that should be the starting point. If then you make a decision about the philosophy, then the rulification may or may not be the same. But philosophically, what we're arguing is that the concept of tuition flexibility should start from the same point.
Dr. Kavanaugh, thank you. Very thoughtful, very substantive.
Can I ask a question?
Real question?
It's a real question. Are community colleges and universities funded differently?
Yes.
Should they be funded the same way?
I think that issue is beyond the scope of the statute. because there has been, in fact, about 2 years worth of conversation with the Board of Governors on the funding formula alone for the university system. And that conversation, in fact, is going on, but in a different venue. And so I think that issue is already on the table in a couple of different ways. Whether or not it falls under the curfew of this particular password, I think is a question.
Thank you very much, Dr.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne Hall. Let's go ahead.
As well as the president of Tallahassee Community College, and I think the president of the president's.
Chairman of the council president.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Chairman, sir. Good morning, sorry. Let me, first of all, let's get ahead of the opportunity to determine the recommendations. We've seen how people have participated along the way. I'm not sure that I can answer all of your questions, but I want to make sure that our position on the summer resolution is clear at this early. First and foremost, just pull the microphone closer to the side. I noticed that my predecessor referred to the unanimous commentary on the part of the university president. That would be a strange concept on the part of community colleges. I think I can represent a dear human being. I want to say that while the issue is still in front of all of us, it's very clear to the college president. Given the options that we see today, our preference is that we would take the back door and increase our field goal that they would remain under the purview of the Board of Education. We have spent a great deal of time on that issue. We believe that our lot with the State Board of Education is a more prosperous future simply because of the magnitude of the complexity of issues that fall to the various governors as its current responsibilities pertain. So, I'm happy to answer questions on that. Given our druthers, we certainly have made every effort to make our position clear that we would prefer to remain on the Board of Education. That process for back door degrees, by the way, we think these recommendations have captured really the essence of where we are going to be today. Despite the untidy nature of the beginning, it's starting to clear up quite in a determined fashion. That is, local needs, vetted through a local process, working through State Board of Education, with opportunity for others to comment to make sure that we're not replicating or moving off in the wrong direction. I think builds on the long and fairly respected history of community colleges while we continue to take on the community colleges that have set forth more baccalaureate programs, I think to a one have demonstrated that takes come from local determination moving forward, so we try to get those in the public posture. I think that process yesterday, in fact, the legislature and the House of Representatives passed a bill that could have just as easily passed last year. It was really a last-minute pipeline issue that kept it from passing, and we think that process is really going to work. So we want to talk about students, and we talk about this is a good question. For community colleges, I would urge that your task force not make this any harder than it needs to be. I think what we ought to do is to have students finish what they start.
regulations for the state of Florida. We used to get out of it. And I think maybe what we want to do is we're really interested in increasing the throughput and take a good hard look at how we can keep people within the system better, easier, faster. Some of that is financial. The issue of need-based financial aid is critical to us. Making sure that that single mother of two, the 30-year-old single mom, doesn't fall by the wayside simply because our finances run short in difficult times. Some of it is within our purview. I think being a little less, help a little more, maybe with the language of this morning is, I think the whole issue of having a plan, the facts, and knowledge is critical to our future. I think that is where we would put our best energies. You think it's clear to me, I'm speaking of attorneys, that the Bright Futures pipeline is working well. Bright students in school get nurtured, move through the system, get to the university. That part, I don't think we have a task force in fact that's describe the entire system. Outside of that pipeline, things get very dicey very quickly. And I would suggest that efforts to clarify how people can continue to move through the system with help, with goal orientation, with support from several institutions, outside of the Bright Futures pipeline would be the place to go. So the degree or an articulation is Bright Futures. Mr. Chairman, I want to make one other comment and then I will be finished. You know, wait to see where you stand on some issues. We believe community colleges, quite frankly, have done very well on accountability. The sad reality is, outside of the charges and buildings, the dialogue and accountability falls off very quickly. We don't believe our efforts have been recognized for the kind of accountability that certainly has been encouraged from the top. So help us, if we're going to maintain it, help us get funded the way it was intended. But certainly that is not an issue that we shy away from anything. We will be with you at every turn to assist you as we can. Several of the presidents I know will be covering these quarters in that first.
Any couple of questions for Dr. Wolf?
You compare with the steps change that the future should have a new base to run into.
I think that's probably given the magnitude of that program now, that's probably there when we start on the policy. We're talking about the
policy. You and Dr. Kavanaugh have obviously agreed on the concept of trying to produce more AAA degrees. In terms of incentives, can you be more specific?
Heading up, for sure, we know that step-by-step working on it is a frequent weapon type model. And I need to get the most valuable thing in my wallet now is the Delta Gold Card. It helps me move through when moving forward. I would do anything to keep that. Why do we have a model that has students understand if you take certain days, doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter if you break one average, you then get certain benefits moving forward. So, I think we can find ways both behaviorally, certainly tuition is this way, and then if you graduate from AA, then you get a different benefit tuition. There are lots of ways, but we have to make a value. That is, getting AA has to become a clear value that students can anticipate.
Any other questions for Dr. Watts? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Ed Moore? Ed Moore is the Executive Director of the Institute of Colleges and Universities in Florida. I think, by some coincidence, 28, Ed, is that right?
28.
So 28 ICUP schools, 28 community colleges, by some coincidence.
I'm sure you have a speech that Bill and I did not consult with one another prior to my presentation, but I'm very many similarities. First of all, thank you for allowing me to speak. I think I have to say that it's good to see at least the spirit of page 20 in place while the body still being surgery could also. This kind of meeting does enable us to talk about the needs of all the systems. Not unexpectedly, your task force and the consultants, really, as I mentioned earlier today, but there's more on the public side. Read through the preliminary recommendations, but it's a very public focus today. If your consultant has been able to spend a little more time investigating our sector, we would share some ideas about our system, and I'll present a few of those today. Providing some other lower cost, higher yield options that you might explore. As I mentioned, we have 28 independent colleges and universities in Florida. We produce about a third of the total degrees and about a quarter of the bachelor's degrees in Florida. And by early next decade, we project to have somewhere around 200,000 students statewide. education-ready high school students. It's a motivator for many students to the prospect of access to higher education. Independent colleges and universities welcome and need these prepared and motivated graduates. And the report does focus on this in drive one. However, again, I would caution that all efforts will give consideration to our sector and not just have a focus on public institutions. Unfortunately, many high school graduates now find access to the state university system closed to them. I guess it's a plus and a minus in the situation due to rising SAT and GRE. Level requirements. Bright Future Scholarship, the Bright Future program, has worked. Highly qualified students are not leaving Florida, but a consequence of this is driving up the state university system admission standards. We are concerned with the unknown impact of some of the items in 1E. You know how these changes, talking about switching some of it to NEJ and the Bright Future. You know how that would impact the decision making of many of the students that Bright Future was designed in the first place to affect. We're concerned about the absence of any mention under 1E of the valuable role of the FRAG, the Florida Resident Access Grant, helping students to gain access to higher education. Apparently, the consultant didn't take a hard look at this area, so I recommend a review of the detailed Florida Council 100 study that was done approximately about a year ago on the topic. The other primary assignment of the Board of Education is to graduate community college students ready to advance to higher education. Here, too, Bright Futures is changing enrollment patterns. According to the Office of Student Financial Assistance, the increasing population of Bright Futures scholars is increasingly choosing four-year institutions and not community college. This, too, serves to drive up state university admission standards and limits access for other qualified students to bachelor's. Your two-year consultant ignored the impact of 2+ transfers into the ICUP system and how this could potentially be enhanced. These step shifts should come as no surprise. A free or discounted bachelor's degree at a state university is a great bargain for the student. This task force should recognize that increasing access to bachelor degrees in Florida means increasing access for non-Bright Future scholars as well. ICUP institutions also attract many Bright Future scholars, but far fewer than state universities. While FSU or University of Florida undergraduates are nearly all Bright Future scholars, around 12% of ICUP undergraduates are Bright Future scholars, in part due to good demographics and in part due to test scores. While welcoming more than 10,000 Bright Future scholars, ICUP has nearly 70,000 other undergraduates on 28 main campuses and 152 satellite education sites, including 18 at community colleges. For many students, ICUP is a bachelor degree access, which is worth to leave that dream behind in Florida. We serve a very large out-of-state population, but this too should not be discounted, as this also adds to the Florida workforce. Just as many in-state students leave Florida upon completion, so too do many out-of-state students stay here for their initial job. The need for capacity is going to be a long-term problem in Florida, and we think there are several questions that must be answered before credible recommendations can be made. And your preliminary recommendations, as I read them, use two lessons, one of demand and one of capacity. For example, in referencing demand, it would be useful to ask high school and community college graduates who are not choosing to advance in higher education why they are not. Such a survey of that population of traditional and non-traditional students would better direct all our efforts to meet their location, financial, or academic needs. The profile of school and college advanced in higher education would also help with this work. DEFCON should be able to provide such a profile for each high school and community college in Florida. As Jay mentioned, we continue to work with this job to try to get you better and more data from our sector. In addition, more work could be done on the growth of regional higher education demand. For example, who moves away from home to attend school? Who goes to the satellite site? What students are potentially left behind due to increasingly rigid standards of admission information for instance? It would also be most helpful to determine why some students do not complete their initial higher education studies and drop out. Again, a survey of such students throughout the community college, and university system might shed light on this key production problem. Also, assessing why students transfer or why they choose the initial higher education point of entry would be very helpful. The Department of Education has its expansion of that. I encourage you to instruct your consultants to move across, move into another area. Consider more than public institutions, keeping fully in mind that high-tech schools produce about a third of the degrees in Florida. ITOP believes that there are several established models that can rapidly engage to expand access and produce more bachelor's capacity. Seems logical that the first step towards increasing capacity is to understand how or if existing successful programs can be expanded or replicated elsewhere. The successful equation appears to be cooperation, coordination, and co-location. And I'll give you, I've got 10 examples here today for you to consider. I'll give it to you in writing, I'll give it to you quick. One is consortium management, such as for Dutch and Police Council. Public and private colleges in a region allow their students to take courses at each other's institution. Two would be having engineering colleges or specialty technical colleges like Embry-Riddle or Florida Institute of Technology, partnering with high schools and community colleges to provide a guaranteed college staff with science and math. Third is interactive online classes with targeted degrees, such as Berry University offers for nursing. Fourth, targeted degree students in nursing and medicine get a guaranteed articulation among partnering institutions, such as the recent partnership between the University of Maryland and Florida Atlantic University. For the many partnerships in place between Nova, Southeastern, and community colleges all across the state. Fifth would be using succeed Florida-type programs, such as the University of Maryland, Berry University, Nova, Southeastern, and the University of Tampa have received to partner with community colleges, delivering them needed nursing instructors and trained future registered nurses. Sixth, ICUP partnerships with community colleges to offer award bachelor's degrees. Currently, 10 ICUP institutions partner with 18 community colleges to deliver bachelor's degrees at community college campuses with thousands of junior and seniors on the community college campuses at a far lower taxpayer cost than this is being done in public systems. Seventh is contracting with institutions willing to produce specified degrees at discounted tuition costs to help meet critical state needs. Eighth, some community colleges have constructed university centers on campus to house several bachelor's degree awarding institutions. Through partnerships with ICUP institutions, perhaps using PEPFA, the Higher Education Facility Finance Authority, and local capital contributions, such centers could be financed privately and built rapidly. These encourages partnerships to provide a menu of bachelor's degree options on every community college campus site at a very low cost for taxpayers. Ninth, we should explore how to enhance grad grant for 2+ transfers might serve to stimulate expansion in these programs at community college sites, still at a far lower cost and direct offerings outside of community college or expanded access to state universities. And finally, our number one priority always is increasing the grad producing bachelor's degrees into less expansion and expanding access to state universities. State budget about 20% of the cost of each state university system. Last year, the state board, we showed about a 1% reduction last fall. And first time ever, a reduction in Bragg Grant assistance. Why? Because Bragg Grant has become unstable throughout the budget years, and the mission predictability. Got that. Last year, it stabilized a little. This year, we got the grant level up, and this fall, we think probably will end up at about 3% this fall. 3% growth after 1% decline last year. So there are many options available to increase access to the work degrees. Our system would love to be a part of that function, but we see your preliminary recommendations. We're largely absent of attention. So I would encourage you to rethink how you can engage us in greater amounts.
Any questions for us, Paul? Before, do you have your stuff in writing yet?
Yes, Mr. Moore, I have really two questions, if I may. In prior meetings, most of the, one of our main concerns with all of this is predicting the number of students in the future and the need and the demand, et cetera. And you left the issue of enrollment and so forth at your institution. In past meetings, Jay Feigler presented numbers data, and I know he's been prepping to watch a lot of that. And most of the enrollment data has been extracted from Bragg participation. So my first question is, do you have an idea of how many of your incoming freshmen do not, and I mean in-state people, otherwise eligible for FRAG, just don't bother to apply?
Oh, not very many.
Okay. So those numbers are pretty solid as far as the in-state participation. My second question is, Jay's presentation this morning, he talked about the involvement of the ICUP institution more closely with some of the data warehouse collection projects and so forth. How have your presidents reacted to this, or has there even been a chance to discuss it with them?
We discussed it somewhat at this level. It's been primarily at the staff level. There's a lot of 28 presidents. You probably get some of the different reactions. And we will continue to work with
other questions.
That's great. If that funding were increased, how many more students do you think ICUP schools can grow?
We did a study about 2 years ago that showed two or three years ago, I think it was about 3,000 students from Brooklyn, from Ohio. What you have to understand is our ratio, we're about 58% in the state, I think this year, around 60% in the state. There is an ability to flip that. Most of the institutions can adjust the number of active state students rather quickly as they start beyond just a real expansion by all the weekends.
And you covered it, but I think I missed part of it. Did you need colleges need to improve articulation agreement with
other schools? No, we're on the verge of finishing statewide, or revisiting statewide again, but we have
any other questions, Mr. Moore? Look forward to getting the presentation running off. Thank you. Cecil Kitt? Cecil's the Executive Director of the Florida Association of Private Schools and Dale Colleges.
Those that would qualify, we have a lot of single moms and returning
students who are, of course, non-traditional. We just want to make sure that, I think the intent was to be at both public and private institutions for this, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Also, our suggestion is the funding is limited. We already know that challenge of the legislature, but this is one of those that really should be targeted for critical workforce program areas. I know there's been some suggestions that maybe a length of program time, I would suggest maybe that not be it. We look at the targeted list. Let's take truck driving, for example. Number four on our targeted list, we don't get enough truck drivers out there. Thank you.